When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone. Episode 547 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek. It should be a very quiet time of the year for the NBA. We're in the middle of August, but thanks to one Kevin Durant, it has not been this week. So we're going to go finally do a deep dive on this whole KD mess. Thanks to the Shams Charania report that came out, and then Ian Begley on Wednesday shared some additional information about his potential landing spots. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today is someone who I know is so excited to talk more about Kevin Durant. Morten Jensen, how's it going?
It's going well. No, I like KD. I'm just annoyed at everything around him at this point. Like, I've been one of his defenders. I think he's got a bum rap for so many years after he left the Thunder to go to Golden State. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that. I think that was his right. And he just took so much shit, like, since 2016 that I felt was unwarranted. Now, however, I think he's putting himself into a situation where that has become more warranted. Yeah. And that bothers me because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, this justifies the level of criticism that I pointed at him since like 6 years ago, which no, stop that. Two different things. You can't be annoyed at a guy who is practicing his right to leave a team in unrestricted free agency. You can, however, get very upset at a guy who signs for $200 million and immediately says, nah, I'm out.
Right. And we'll get into the bigger picture implications of this whole thing at the end, because I think that is going to be a very interesting side effect. But let's first dive into the latest news about this.
Yes.
So Shams Charania of The Athletic reported Monday that KD met with Joe Tsai, the governor of the Brooklyn Nets, over the weekend. And he delivered an ultimatum. He said, he reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that he needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash. Durant also said he does not have faith in the team's direction. So since that report came out, Joe Tsai on Monday night, like a couple hours after the report came out, tweeted, you know, I've got faith in our front office and general manager. I think he said, we'll make the best decisions for the Brooklyn Nets, which was basically a middle finger to Kevin Durant.
Correct.
Response to this. But I have seen a lot of, you know, once this report came out, I saw a lot of people saying like, look, if the decision is between, you know, Nash and Marks and a top five NBA player, a first ballot Hall of Famer, this is not a difficult choice. You go with the player. So what side of this do you come down on?
I actually come down on a different side.
Okay.
I come down on blow everything sky high side. Mm-hmm. Like, not just trade away KD, because you can't have a guy who's like out there doing ultimatums. Right. When has ultimatums ever worked?
Like, really? Have you not seen the Netflix show, The Ultimatum?
Because I have not.
Oh, well, at least I'm not going to spoil it, but it did work for one couple. At least one couple, actually.
Oh my God, are you on your reality TV thing again?
Yes, it was amazing. They were couples that wanted to get engaged. One of them wanted to get engaged, the other didn't. So they all go on this show to like bully them into getting engaged. And for at least one couple, it did work.
That sounds horrific.
Yes,
that's so bad.
It's a truly terrible idea, which is, I'm praying they have a season two. So there you go.
You're usually such a smart man, but when you immediately go to like reality TV, that's where I start asking serious questions, Brian. But okay, look. God, I don't even know where to start. Thank you. Thank you. And you even start up by like, oh, I don't want to spoil anything. I promise you, like at worst, maybe there's like two people listening in who's like, oh yeah, please don't spoil. I want to go watch. Everyone else is like, yeah, spoil away. It's fine. I don't care.
You guys are all missing out. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. What is it? That's X on the Beach. You're still watching that too?
I wish. Oh my God. We can't. I mean, the UK version is the one that is just the most raunchy thing I've ever seen, but we can't get that here. Anyway.
Anyway. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Yes. Again, I don't even know where to go from here. This is so bad. No, the ultimatum thing, it's just not going to work out. It doesn't have any, like whenever someone in a relationship goes, it's either this or that, you know what? Then it's not going to end well. Like it's not going to end well. So I don't want to, if I'm a team, I don't want to have a superstar who makes those kinds of decisions, those kind of calls. At the same time, I'm also not married necessarily to Sean Marks and Steve Nash. I'm just not like Steve Nash was someone who was brought in part because KD wanted in the first place, which is just hilarious at this point. But he also hasn't stood out. You know what I mean? It's not something where we go, oh yeah, this is the next Steve Kerr. Like, no, same first name, same position in the NBA, very skilled, shooter. Sure. Doesn't mean they have the same coaching abilities. So I'm just ready in Brooklyn to basically say, blow everything sky high, like trade away the stars, fire management, fire the coaching staff, just everything, like clean slate.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But obviously, Cy isn't there. Like he's siding with Nash and Marks, which fine. I'm at this point where too much water has run its course. I'm like, if I suddenly was handed like $100 billion and I could just buy the Brooklyn Nets and I did, I would clean house top to bottom.
Interesting. I thought you just meant like blow up the roster and then keep Nash. And so I'm with you overall. Because like, here's the thing about, the ultimatum with regard to Durant. Let's say you do it. Let's say you fire Nash, you fire Marks.
Right.
Who's to say in 6 months that Kevin Durant's not going to have another, like, all right, do this or I'm out.
Right.
You know, like where does it end? And at that point, this whole offseason has felt like them trying to wrest control back from KD and Kyrie. Because frankly, like as soon as they signed those guys, they gave control of the franchise to them, as evidenced especially by the DeAndre Jordan signing, but also firing Kenny Atkinson and bringing in Steve Nash, who Kyrie and KD both wanted. You know, KD 3 months ago was saying, Nash got dealt a raw hand here between, like, the pandemic and just everything that came with that. So something changed, and I would imagine that it was their refusal to give Kyrie a long-term contract. I think the irony is, with the not having faith in the team's direction, like if you look at the Nets roster and if KD just comes back and plays ball and Kyrie comes back and plays ball, the Nets on paper are really good this year. Like they should be a championship favorite, but they're not right now because there's so much uncertainty going on with who is actually going to be on this roster on day one.
Should they, though? Should they? I feel as though we're over. Well, I mean, look, are we just going to ignore that KD is not fully healthy every year now? Are we also going to ignore that Ben Simmons hasn't played for it in a whole year?
Right, right. That's the thing. It's like there are so many question marks with them.
Right.
I forget who was saying this the other day. I think it was like Mark Spears or someone that was like, you know, they could. It's just so hard to predict what's going to go. Like they could be the number one seed, or they could be like a play-in team. And people were like, "Well, how could they be a number one seed?" It's like, well, if everything breaks right, they absolutely could be a number one seed, but that takes a lot of ifs. Like, Kyrie doesn't disappear for 20 games, if KD stays healthy, if Ben Simmons stays healthy and actually plays this year, if Joe Harris bounces back. Like, that's what I'm saying.
If Steve Nash turns into a better coach, yes.
Right, because I think your point about Nash is fair. Like, the Nets offense was not exactly the most innovative thing I've ever seen. It oftentimes just devolved into, okay, KD and Kyrie, do your thing. Like, let's just get buckets. Which, when you have talents like that, you got to do that sometimes. Like, that's the point of having those guys. But at the same time, you also need to make life easier on them. And I'm not sure that Nash is the right guy to do that. With all that said, Sean Marks, he's fantastic. He rebuilt that team. Well, I mean, I think he still is. I think he just, because he's dealing with, you know, these guys, he's also kind of dealing with an impossible situation here. But like for him to have rebuilt the Nets as quickly as he did after that disastrous KG Paul Pierce trade, like that's the one guy that I would really not want to lose if I'm them.
He did was epic, absolutely. But then he also pivoted towards this shit show.
I mean, I still think, despite how all of this has turned out, I think you make that gamble 10 times out of 10. Because frankly, if KD's foot wasn't on the line in 2021, like they very well could be NBA champions right now.
And that's a fair point. That is absolutely a fair point. That said, you have to understand going in to a situation where you're basically forking over the franchise to two stars, one of whom has a significant history of just creating issues wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not smart. And if that was the play, if they came in and that was like the price to Kevin Durant, you must acknowledge at some level that it's just not going to work out.
I mean, if there wasn't a pandemic and Kyrie, like, sure, maybe something else would have happened with Kyrie, but like, this was the outlier scenario. Like, this was, barring injuries, this was about as poorly as this experiment could have turned out.
Right, right. I understand that. But at the same time, I'm also just not a believer in forking over everything to stars necessarily. I don't think you need to have stars who are your indirect GMs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it felt like Sean Marks came in and told KD and Kyrie, yo, look, go come here, and for a couple of years, you basically take over my job, because you also wanted me to sign DeAndre Jordan to a deal that he obviously wasn't worth.
Right, right. And that's like where they should have drawn clearer lines from the start, like the Jordan thing, and then, you know, like, that was what contributed to them being unhappy with Kenny Atkinson. Atkinson wanted to play Jared Allen over DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
Jared Allen is clearly better, was better at the time than DeAndre Jordan. Their career arcs have only gone in opposite directions since. Yep. Like, Jared Allen is now an all-star. DeAndre Jordan, it honestly should not be in the NBA, but kudos to the Nuggets for tampering and getting him at the first second of free agency. So, like, I'm with you in that, you know, they picked this path and they had to live with the consequences. But I think if you get KD and Kyrie off of this team, I have full confidence in Sean Marks to be like, all right, learn our lesson. We're not going to do that again, but I can still rebuild this thing pretty well.
I can buy that. I can actually buy that you're the openness to giving Sean Marks a second chance, pending, of course, he comes out and actually says out loud to everyone that, yeah, this was a mistake. We absolutely did something here that we shouldn't have done, because you just ruined whatever you had built up. Yeah. Like, this was a team that had everything going for them. I understand the talent level was never quite there. I'm not blind. Like, D'Angelo Russell and Jared Allen is not going to be enough.
And like Caris LeVert. Yeah, like that would have been a fun, like, 45, maybe 50 win frisky team. That team was not winning a championship. So that's
correct.
That is why I think you make that. They're right to have tried this. They just didn't execute it as well as they should have.
Well, but more than that, Brian, they sacrificed a culture that they were building.
That's true, yeah.
And that's what I have a problem with. They spent like 3 years getting those guys in. And again, I understand there was a ceiling to that team, but there was a culture in place, or that culture was at the very least being developed. And then you basically just took 3 years of hard work, threw it to the curve, got those two guys in who walked all over you, dictated moves, and did whatever they wanted to, now putting up ultimatums on guys that they wanted in there in the first place. Right. It's just, it's so overwhelmingly stupid. And the worst thing about it is it was predictable. I sat here where I'm sitting right now 3 years ago and said as much. I said that. If an idiot like me can see it, surely more people could see it.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
See website for details. So all of that said, yeah,
right.
Sai has drawn his battle lines.
He has.
He has said, we support the front office. We support the coaching staff. Where do you think this goes from here?
I think it's a trade. I have to assume it's a trade.
Do you think trading camp, or do you think this thing drags on throughout the regular season? Is this Ben Simmons part two?
This could easily be a thing that drags out, because at the end of the day, and I understand that everyone is in there, but it's KD. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 34. He's on a huge contract, and his recent antics here isn't exactly going to endear him to other teams. Like, mm-hmm. I would imagine him just putting up that ultimatum, at least a handful of teams had a meeting afterwards and just said, nope, washing their hands of their trade interest and went, let's go back to what we're doing. This isn't worth it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised to see teams just dwindle in terms of interest, in which case it becomes one of those situations where you can't demand like a Rudy Gobert trade return, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like maybe you're down to 4 or 5 teams instead of 20, and then it's somewhat limited what those teams can offer, and you have to take the best poo-poo platter there is.
Yeah. Do you think – so Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News, you know, reported the other day, like, the assumption has – been, you know, Kevin Durant like loves to ball. So mm-hmm. like, yes, he's pissed at the Nets, but if they don't trade him by training camp, it was like, okay, well, what's he going to do? Is he really going to pull Ben Simmons and sit out half the year? And Christian Winfield was like, yeah, possibly. Like, mm-hmm. we should not assume just because KD likes to play basketball and like that is his thing,
right,
that he is going to actually, like, he might try to, you know, really blow this thing up and, you know, hold out a training camp. And it's unclear, like, how far he will take that.
Yeah.
But you know, do you buy the idea that Durant would hold out into the regular season?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that sentiment. I think that whole baller aspect has been totally overblown. Mm-hmm. Like, these are NBA players. They're multi-million dollar brands. They understand the power that they wield. So mm-hmm. why would Kevin Durant be completely like ignoring his the power that he has here in this situation and his market and everything else? And just go, well, you know, I'm a baller. That's what I'm known for. So I'm mm-hmm. just going to play. Like, no, of course most guys could sit out if that's what they wanted. So Ben Simmons, in part, sat out most of last year. Obviously, there were other issues at play. Mm-hmm. But it just wouldn't surprise me to see more players do this because they know that they're major institutions. It's also why, Brian, again, if I'm an NBA franchise and I'm looking to rebuild, I'm not going to pivot off of that path. I would much rather try my hand at the draft, getting young guys in there, try to mold them as players at the same time, because you're basically also racing them. Like, they're coming in at 19 mm-hmm. and basically saying, look, we want you here long term. We're going to pay you every single dollar that we can. But we also want to build you up as a culture setter, as someone who is loyal to this team, just as we will be loyal to you. I think it goes both ways. Kevin Durant clearly has not felt that loyalty towards him. That's either right or wrong. I can't comment on that. I don't think he's necessarily been treated poorly, given that they signed DeAndre Jordan for him and they hire Steve Nash. So I fail to see where they failed him. Mm-hmm. However, that's where he feels that they came up short. So what are you going to do here? I mean, it just seems like this situation is played out, and it's going to be a thing where he goes to another team. He's going to dictate his terms. And when the team says no, he's going to sit his ass back down and say, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah.
That to me seems like the way that we're going, not just with KD, but with NBA players of significant stature at this point, players who are above 30.
Yeah. Well, you know, John Hollinger wrote a column, I think it was yesterday or sometime this week, about like, look, you know, KD's under contract for 4 more years. So he doesn't have a ton of power in this situation. Like, the Nets could tell him, F you, we are not trading you. Like, we are not getting a package anywhere near what we think is fair. And until we do, we're just not going to trade you. That's the stance that the Sixers took with Ben Simmons for most of last season until the Harden thing came up, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, we're not settling for CJ McCollum and a pick, or like Malcolm Brogdon and a pick. Like,
right, that's right.
So I do wonder how far both sides are willing to push this. And I also, I mean, I hate to belabor this point, but I keep saying, like, the Ben Simmons arbitration hearing, we haven't heard, like, Zach Lowe said it's going on, but we haven't heard when it might resolve or, like, what the outcome is going to be. But I continue to say that is, like, you know, you could distract yourself with KD and Donovan Mitchell and Russ and Kyrie and everything, but the arbitration hearing is one of the biggest storylines of this offseason. Like, if he wins his money back, then all of a sudden KD has a clear blueprint to follow in terms of, you know, you want to hold out in the training camp in the regular season? All right, here's how you do it, and here's how you get your money too. Like, I don't think it matters either way for KD, you know, because he's got, like, what? $300 million of career earnings, not counting, that's just from his contract. That's not counting all the endorsement money. So, like,
and all his investments, like, he has invested in a lot of different places, and he is earning top dollar on a lot of those.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think, like, giving up $44 million sounds crazy to you or I, but when you've got, you know, possibly $500 million of net worth, like, maybe you're willing to do that if you're that upset about how things have gone with your team. So I don't know how this is going to end. I still feel like we're not any closer to a resolution here, and it feels like a lot of this stuff coming out this week has been KD's camp trying to, like, rustle up a trade, and it's probably not working. Like, I can't imagine the Nets are like, oh, well, now we have to trade him. Right. It's like, okay, like, we're willing to trade you, but we're not going to do it for less than what we think is fair value. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's so hard to come up with what is fair value for Kevin Durant, because he is, on the one hand, he is one of the best players in the NBA still.
Yep.
He is under contract for 4 more years. You rarely get that much team control over this caliber of a player.
Well, you don't get team control. Like, he might be under contract, but you don't have team control. Look at this current situation.
Sure. That's a fair point. The other hand is, he's coming off of, you know, he had an Achilles injury a couple years ago. He's played, what, 90 games over the last
90 games seasons. Minus playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, how much can you count on him moving forward? You're absolutely right about, you know, how happy is he going to be in his next location? And is he going to pull this same stunt a year or two down the line? So it's like, I don't know what fair value is for that type of player. Cause like, on paper, you would have to like revoke the Stepien rule to give fair value for Kate. If Rudy Gobert gets 5 picks, you literally cannot give enough draft compensation for him. At the same time, the other problems, one, the Nets have already given away control over most of their first round picks to the Houston Rockets for the James Harden deal. So this isn't a situation where, you know, you can just trade him for a bunch, like what the Knicks are potentially going to do for Donovan Mitchell, just give up a bunch of young guys and picks. And then the Jazz are like, cool, we're going to suck. That's great. We'll get Victor Wembanyama, or what? I need to learn how to say his name. But
Wembanyama, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get him next year. The Nets don't have that option. And then the other problem is Ben Simmons, that they've already acquired one guy on this designated rookie extension.
Yep.
So they can't get Bam Adebayo. They can't get Brandon
Ingram. Well, Ben is heading out, though.
Sure. I mean, that should not
affect. He left the group chat.
I'm so mad that story isn't real. Like, I knew it wasn't real.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because there's been a development while we've been recording.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yes. So basically, Rick Bucher. How do you pronounce the last name? Rick Bucher, right?
Yeah. I can pronounce his name.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it's the other way around for me. All the American names. Yeah. No, but Bucher was out there basically saying, he was the one with the initial report of Ben Simmons having left the group chat.
Ahead of game four when he was supposed to play and then didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Shams came out and said, nope, that report is not true. He refuted it. Yeah. Well, Bucher has hit back. I'm just gonna read.
Okay.
I have been assured that this is correct in spite of another report that says it never happened. And that's as far as I'll go with that, too. I'm not going to punch down. Ben Simmons was in a group chat with some of the other team players, and on it, they asked Ben if he was playing in game 4. And not only did he not answer, he dropped out of the chat. Now, as I said, there's another reporter out there who suggested the event never happened. I'm well aware that the reporter has, let's say he has vested interests in painting things a certain way. And again, I will leave it at that. His comments prompted me to go back and double check with my source. And that source insists that it did indeed happen and explain why someone might report it another way. So I'm sticking with it.
Damn. Knives out, Rick Bucher.
I'm not going to punch down.
Wow. Between this and the Ethan Sherwood-Strauss post on Woj this week, we are getting a lot of behind-the-scenes drama on how NBA slop sausage gets made.
It's not just KD, huh? Like, it's NBA media even. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. All right. Well, all of that said, yes, you are not letting Ben Simmons influence your return.
Not at all. You don't know what Ben Simmons is anymore at all. So,
Like, you are willing to sell low on Ben Simmons if it means getting someone on this designated. If you can get Bam Adebayo, cool. Sell Ben Simmons for 20 cents on the dollar. whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it is really hard to pin down exactly what a fair value is. I think it was Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe reported yesterday that when the Celtics reached out initially, the Nets said Tatum and Brown. And, you know, of course, the Celtics declined that.
Right. And then, as they should.
And then bounced back with this, you know, Brown and Derek White and a pick, and the Celtics said, or the Nets said no, and they said, you know, Brown and Marcus Smart and multiple picks and another rotation player that was from Shams. So Adam Himmelsbach said, you know, the Celtics and Nets are nowhere close to a deal right now. Sounds like they have a lot of turf to overcome there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With all of that said, I want to get into some potential trade destinations other than the Celtics for KD. Because Ian Begley of SNY, he lit Sixers Twitter on fire yesterday. He reported that as of earlier this week, there were high-ranking members of the Sixers who felt strongly about engaging with Brooklyn on a Durant trade. And then he added later, it's worth noting that in addition to Boston, Durant also sees Philadelphia as another welcome landing spot. So I guess whatever European tour that KD and James Harden are on right now, they patch things up. There is no bad blood from Harden forcing his way out of Brooklyn back in February. And it sounds like the two are interested in a reunion. The problem, Mort, is that the Sixers have already traded basically every draft pick they can. They traded fully unprotected 2023 first to Brooklyn in the Harden deal, a top six protected 2025 pick to Oklahoma City in the deal that got them Danny Green for Al Horford, and then top eight protected 2027 pick to Brooklyn, also with a Harden trade. So because of the Stepien rule, they can't trade 24, 26, or 28 right now. They can trade 29, but teams are only allowed to trade picks 7 years into the future.
Right.
And because the 27 pick is conditional on 25 conveying, they would either have to amend the protections and make 25 and 27 fully unprotected to guarantee that they could give up the 29 pick. Right. Or they would have to, you know, right now the wording on the 27 pick is at least 2 years after the 25 pick conveys, you get the 27 pick. You can do that with the 29 pick as well, but you can't say, like, if it doesn't convey in 29, it turns into a 2030 first round pick.
Okay. This is a long way of saying it's difficult to make something happen.
Yeah. They don't have picks to give up. And I think, you know, they can offer pick swaps in 24, not 26 or 28 because of these conditions, but the Nets have already given up their 24 first round pick to Houston. So a 24 pick swap has no value to Brooklyn. So the Sixers have no real draft equity to give up in a trade. They have Tyrese Maxey, who I think is a legitimate blue chip prospect.
Correct.
They have Tobias Harris as salary matching. And if the Nets, you know, are going into this saying we don't want to fully tank because we don't have control over our picks for the next couple of years, like, you know, Tobias Harris is on a bad contract, but he's a good player. He would help them, you know, not finish with a top or a bottom three record.
Yeah, like tread water. Sure.
Yeah. they can give up Matisse Thybulle. But other than that, the Sixers don't really have a ton of value. Like Jaden Springer, Paul Reed, Charles Bassey, Isaiah Joe, they're all like young, so they could have upside, but
Nothing though. Like in the grand scheme of things, so that's why I'm not taking that report seriously at all.
Yeah, right. Like, do you think the Sixers, Maxey absolutely has to be included. You don't even get on the phone with them if you're not willing to include Maxey. Because, that is the only prayer you have of competing with a Boston package with Jaylen Brown. But, from what we've heard, the Pelicans aren't including Brandon Ingram right now. The Raptors aren't including Scottie Barnes right now. The Heat don't want to include Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo right now, which I'll get back to shortly. Mm. So do you think, if all of these other teams are not willing to give up these, the premium player that Brooklyn wants, could Philly wiggle in there and potentially, not have the best offer that any team could make, but have the best offer that any team is actually willing to make?
That's a fair point. I don't know, because you're still taking on Tobias Harris's deal. That's going to run through next year as well. I honestly think if Tobias had been expiring, that would have been better. That would have been more attractive for Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if the Pelicans aren't going to include Ingram, the Heat can't really include Bam because he can't go there to join Simmons anyway, unless you have to, that would be forced to make follow-up moves or you would have to do something else. And Jimmy Butler isn't moving that needle. He's not. He's older. I don't see why Brooklyn would be interested. Tyler Hero might be on. I have Tyler Hero below Tyrese Maxey.
Me too.
But but some teams might not. And if Brooklyn is one of those teams that looks at Tyler Hero and goes upside. We know that NBA teams differ on talent evaluation.
God help any team that has Tyler Hero above Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. That would be ridiculous. But look, the 2018 draft opened a lot of eyes around. Luka Doncic should have been the clear-cut number one guy, right? And we heard that he was as low as eighth on some draft boards. So that just speaks to me that NBA teams don't always know what they're doing. That's just what it is. I don't know what the answer here is, because at the end of the day, yes, I do think that Tyrese Maxey is a blue chip prospect. I do think that he's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous trade asset. And I also would be skeptical and worried if I do let him walk as to what do I do in Philly from there, because we know, even though they might have patched things up like Harden and Durant, we don't really know how that's going to work out. At the same time, Embiid is going to need the ball. Like, all of a sudden, he's pretty much not going to get it.
Yeah.
I don't like the overall makeup of that team, to be honest with you.
I wrote something yesterday at Forbes just about why I don't think this is especially likely, and it really focused on the draft pick compensation. I will say, they're also hard capped, but if you're doing Maxey, Thybulle, Harris, that actually lines up almost perfectly with KD's salary. It's actually a little bit more. So that is not a factor. They couldn't take back another giant salary. If the Nets try and offload Joe Harris, that the Sixers couldn't do that. But I think, the major cons beyond just does this happen in Philly in 2 years? The depth is going to be a huge issue.
There's no depth whatsoever.
The starting lineup, in theory, if you're including Maxey as well, is probably Melton, Harden, KD, PJ Tucker, and Embiid.
Correct.
Which, I'm ready to go to war with that group. That sounds really good, actually. Beyond that, though, you got Daniel House off the bench, and then George Niang, Paul Reed, Korkmaz, Shake Milton. We're right back to where we were last year, where you have pretty good top five. then, like, do you have anyone off the bench who you really trust in a playoff situation?
At the same time, does that trio of Harden, Durant, Embiid, does that work?
I think it would.
I don't know. I think that's a lot of shot hunters. And Embiid, unlike Kyrie, who's also like a shooter who can spot up here and there, he is a guy who needs the ball for a fair chunk of the shot clock. Like, yeah, you could use Durant as Durant is great off ball. So that I'm not worried. Like, Durant fits everywhere.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's still a guy who's going to get 20 plus shots. How do you align all of that with James Harden, who has the ball in his hands a ton, and then Embiid, who also has the ball in his hands a ton? Like, are you just going to play Durant almost exclusively as, you know, this free-flowing forward who can just stretch? I would like to see that, but I wonder if Durant would be satisfied with that.
I would imagine, especially if he feels like he's getting, you know, at age 34, like he's got some wear on his legs now and he just wants easy shots to be created. Like, Harden would be the primary playmaker, dump the ball to Embiid in the post. And can you double Joel Embiid if James Harden and Kevin Durant are on the perimeter? Like, I don't think so. Right.
Well, I mean, James Harden isn't exactly used to spotting up, though. Like,
I'm assuming he's going to come back this season. Like, I would imagine that has been a big area of focus this offseason.
It should be.
I hope.
No, well, you're going to just cheat off PJ Tucker, though.
You just park him in the corner. Like, he was, 45% from three last year?
I'm still okay with that. Go ahead.
Are you, like, you're doubling Embiid and cheating off PJ Tucker, but that means Durant is single covered then.
That's true. The single coverage Durant is the one thing that could work. It's not about making it work on the court necessarily, just in terms of the schematics. It's about the personalities. Like, will they accept roles that are maybe a little bit more tightened? That's what I wonder. Also, this plays into that. Durant averaged 6.5 assists last year.
Yeah.
I think he is a very good playmaker. He's grown into becoming a very good playmaker. I wonder if he also wants to have the ball less in his hands because he knows what he can do with that ball. Like, he enjoys being the setup man now. He said as much. So, again, like, I could see the upside. I'm not an idiot. I can see the upside.
Yeah.
But I could also see this thing going haywire because, hell, we just saw it go haywire between two of them before.
Right.
So, I'm just not necessarily psyched on these players who are in their soon mid-30s, who are very demanding of everyone around them and who seems to want to escape blame for whatever, like, however necessary. Like, Harden, to his credit, was like, yeah, I got to change. I'm taking a lesser salary. I'm doing all these things that I haven't done in the past. So I'm open to Harden having like a better year now because it seems like he's actually had that wake-up call that he very sorely needed. Durant? I don't know, man. Like, an ultimatum doesn't exactly make me think that he's had any wake-up call.
Sure. And I mean, I think another fair question is Doc Rivers the right guy to
get
the best out of all of
that's not
guys?
Even a question. Come on. That's
that is the Sixers' current head coach. So, you know,
why you trade for KD because then he demands that Doc goes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, I'm in.
That case, now everyone on Sixers Twitter is also going to be.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Anyone
who has hesitation now about giving up Tyrese Maxey is sold.
Just. Do it now because that means you get Doc out of the show. I'm there. Yeah. Go for it. Yep. He's going to be like in his second practice and then KD is going to go to Daryl. Like,
just nope. Nope. Yeah. I mean, I will say like the other major concern from Philly's perspective beyond KD's age and injury history and just overall, like what if this thing goes belly up? I mean, you have at that point, you've given up, realistically, you know, if assuming the 29 pick is somehow in there,
Right.
You've given up most of your draft capital for the next close to a decade.
Right.
And you have no real intriguing youth at all if you're giving up Maxey. And, like, I'm assuming, you know, maybe Paul Reed's in there too, whatever. Like, you have no one worth, like, okay, we have faith that this guy could be the bridge to our next era. So as KD ages out and Harden ages out, like, there will come a point where you basically have to trade Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Like, once those two guys are gone, like, Embiid's going to be looking around. There is nothing left. Like, all right, we got to, like, for the long-term future of our franchise, the best thing we could do is trade Embiid.
And that's now, fine. And that's fine. Yeah. Because at that point in time, we don't know where his body is.
That's true. And, like, you know, all of that might be worth the trade-off. Because I think if, you know, even though the depth is going to be a concern, like, if they trade for KD, they'll still have a little bit of room under the apron. They can round out right. their roster with a couple of veteran minimum signings. Like, there's not a ton of talent on the free agent market, but, like, bring in a Hassan Whiteside, bring in, I don't know, Markieff Morris is interested in going there. Like, maybe they could get a Dennis Schroeder and Eric Bledsoe on a min deal at that point. Like, I think they would be one of the premier spots for remaining free agents. But I don't think, even if the Nets are amenable to this type of a framework, I don't think there's an easy answer for the Sixers. Like, I think right, they've got to explore it, and it's very clear what their package is. Like, the good thing from their perspective is that they don't have a ton to offer. So it's not like Toronto where it's like, well, we don't want to offer Scottie Barnes, but, like, will we offer Siakam? Will we not offer Siakam? The Sixers is like, no, you are offering Harris for the salary filler, Maxey for the blue chip prospect, presumably Thybulle just in case he figured out offense this offseason. Like, that, it's very clear cut what you have to offer. I just don't think it's enough to outbid, you know, if any of these other teams really get serious and start to bend on who they are willing to include. Like, Boston can blow them out of the water. Yeah. If they, you know, if they do Jaylen Brown and multiple picks, good luck.
Yeah, they win. But if they don't, I'm wondering, because you just kind of got me curious here, because you said, oh, if those offers weren't there, like, whether or not the Sixers could, like, sneak into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Kobe White, Dalen Terry, and Ayo Dosunmu.
That's interesting. God, I don't need it. DeRozan and Simmons would be horrific. No,
yeah, I get that. But, like, DeMar is effectively the Tobias Harris.
Yeah, right.
The salary matching component.
Yeah.
Well, while still being, like, an all-NBA caliber player, by the way. But yeah. Maybe the Nets could actually swing him. Maybe they could even expand it into a three-team, like, mm-hmm. and then get him somewhere else. My point here being, like, maybe you don't have that one blue chip prospect because Patrick mm-hmm. Williams hasn't reached that level of, you know, Tyrese Maxey, for example.
Sure.
But then you just overwhelm them with volume instead. So you have, like, Williams, White, Terry, Ayo Dosunmu, who I would argue is on his way to becoming a blue chip prospect because, good Lord, he is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Why, it, like, that has to be just as valid as the Sixers offer at the end of the day, right? Plus the Portland pick.
Yeah. Do they have other picks that they are able to include too?
Yes. They don't have everything tied up. They obviously the Portland pick, but they also, let's see, the second pick that goes to Orlando is next year, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they have a pick going to San Antonio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good ask. I think they do have something on the back burner. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe they have something long term, but that's, like, way down the line.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, I'm just bringing up the Bulls as an example. I don't think they would.
Yeah.
I don't think they should. Like, these are the types of teams that if they have enough young players at their disposal, maybe, like, But at the same time, I just don't think that a lot of teams would be willing to do this. I think teams are looking at KD right now going, yeah, 34, right. Throws a fit, like demands ultimatums. Like, no, like, let's just not. Let's just stick with what we have and see how far it takes us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I promised I wanted to get back to Miami because you brought it, you know, Bam Adebayo because of the Ben Simmons thing. Again, that shouldn't be the deal breaker. If from Brooklyn's end, they should be willing to reroute Ben Simmons if they need to. I feel like Atlanta would very happily do Ben Simmons for John Collins right now.
I don't like that for Atlanta, but okay.
I mean, if Ben Simmons is like willing and able to play, I mean, the fit with him and DeJounte could be weird, but
yeah, like you will have three players who last time they all played were point guards, high volume point guards who passed the ball.
Right. But from a talent perspective, like,
sure,
it's an upgrade. Regardless, I think there would be some team willing to take on Ben Simmons still.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree. I don't think I hope not. I don't think they would be willing to do so for John Collins though, because you kind of need someone who can score.
Sure. Regardless, like, we'll assume Bam. We're just gonna table him for now because of that. If you're Miami, why aren't you open to at least discussing frameworks with Jimmy Butler?
Oh, I think I am open. I just don't think it's working. I mean, why would teams be willing to take on Jimmy, who's also getting older now and who has been very, very vocal about liking, you know, the Miami Heat culture thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how he would respond if he goes to a place he doesn't want to be.
Right, we saw that in Minnesota. Even though he did want to be there.
You'll get Rachel Nichols out of wherever she is right now. And Right? I mean, I think teams are well aware that Jimmy is in the one spot that he wants to be in. And if you mess with that, you're going to see potentially the ugly side of him.
I mean, I could definitely buy that. And I think from the Nets perspective in particular, like if they don't want to move Ben or they can't move Ben for whatever reason, I don't think Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler would like to play with one another again. I can't imagine. So that would be a
complication. I want to see it though.
Oh my god. I think Ben might retire, honestly. That just,
oh good, just less drama, like, I'm okay with that.
But I it made me think the other day, like, is there a three-team deal where, you know, because like Jimmy and Hero is a pretty good starting point for a framework for KD. Like, he don't have a ton of picks they can offer, I believe. And you know, they've got a bunch of like Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, like other guys who they could throw in there. But like, just as a foundation of a trade, like Jimmy and Hero is pretty good value. But I think you're right. Like, I don't know why.
Is it even better than Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey? Because you're not keeping Jimmy.
Right. So I think you reroute Jimmy to a third team, and then that third team gives up extra stuff to Brooklyn. So
Who is that third team, and who wants to give up something of significant value for Jimmy at this age?
Yeah, I was racking my brain because you can't go to, like, the Orlando Magic or the Thunder or something, right? You can't go to like a total rebuilding team.
Correct.
I don't even think you can do the Knicks, because like, why? With what you're left with?
Oh, Brian, Jimmy's, please tell me you're rerouting him back to the Bulls, because I would love that. That's like the one.
I mean, be interesting.
That's the one team that I know that he would still be open for. He still has a lot of love for that organization, and now with Garpax gone,
yeah,
I would definitely believe that he is very open to a return if he is to leave. I think Miami is the place he wants to be, but if he is to leave and like in a trade, I think Chicago would be like a place that he would be very, very open to.
So a couple other teams come to mind.
Okay, hit me.
One, if Boston is not willing to meet the asking price for Kevin Durant.
Oh, no, no. Don't.
You wouldn't give up Jaylen Brown for Jimmy
Butler? That's not the thing. No, he wouldn't want to play. He is not a Boston fan. He is not about that.
Okay. I would think the chance to, like, you know, you replace Brown with Butler.
Yeah, no, it's an upgrade. I would love that. I mean, I just don't think Jimmy would. I think you're getting, that's one of those teams where I would fear you're getting the worst version of him.
Mm, okay. The other teams that came to mind are like, you know, up and coming teams where, you know, because you look at Miami and like, okay, Bam's young, Hero's young, but he's about to get paid. They've got this Duncan Robinson contract on the books that is looking regrettable already. But Kyle Lowry is getting up there in age. Like, you know, if you look 3 years into the future, like, sure, Heat culture, they develop undrafted guys. Cool. But, you know, I think you can look around the league and think there are other teams that, you know, might be better suited for him both now and long term.
Right.
What about the Cavaliers? If they didn't have to give up any of Garland, Jared Allen, or Evan Mobley, but you give up every other young player, and then, you know, you've got the salary filler of, you could either do LeVert, Markkanen, or Kevin Love, take your pick. But you're giving up Okoro, you're giving up Agbaji, you give up every pick you have.
I love the fit, similar to Boston. I just wonder if that's also a place where you potentially get the worst version of him. Mm-hmm. Because you have to understand, his mentor was Joakim Noah.
Sure.
And no,
different Cleveland team now, though. LeBron's not there.
I'm kidding. It's more long, but I do think that Jimmy is a guy who wants to be in a bigger market or a hot market. Like he specifically mentioned, like when he signed with the Heat back then, like the warmth, like just the temperature, the weather. Like that was something that was important for him if he had to go somewhere on his own accord. And he, like, when he was traded away from a bigger market in Chicago, he acted up in Minnesota and was very much not happy there. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Cleveland is a team that he looks at and goes, wow, why am I here? Not necessarily because of Cleveland necessarily, but also just the reputation that club has. I agree with you, though. Like, I'm speaking broadly here because I agree with you that would be a tremendous acquisition for Cleveland. I also agree with you that this is an entirely different Cavaliers team. I think they are set up so, so well for the future. Even if you just take Garland and Mobley and ignore everyone else on that roster, you have a duo who should be one of the best two-man, you know, one of the best small, big duos over the next 12 years. So I hear you. I think that would be cool. I just wonder if Jimmy would be into it, because we have to think about like how Jimmy would respond to things way more than we would, you know, normal NBA players.
Right. No, it's a fair point. This is all like, this is more 2K than like real life.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Like I don't think it is fair to wonder, given how things went in Minnesota in particular, you know, whether teams are even willing to take that gamble. Like knowing how quickly it can blow up and how ugly it could be.
Right.
But
and he also needs a certain, he needs a certain caliber of teammate too. Like there's a reason that he had that relationship with Embiid, right? Where he wanted to, we should not forget this. He wanted to stay, assuming like you got rid of the guys who just didn't want to be there or who just didn't put in the effort. That it was the same thing all over with Minnesota, but he was like, no, if Ben Simmons is still here and just doing nothing with all this ungodly talent, I'm just not into it. Like he wanted to go to places where guys are putting in the effort. Like he said on multiple occasions while he was in Philly that Ben Simmons is the best player on this team. Like he just doesn't know it yet. Like I just think, you know, if, does he have that relationship, or does he have that understanding that Darius Garland and Evan Mobley can turn into that? Or is he just immediately coming in like, no, you guys are rookies. You don't know jack shit. I'm going to take care of everything. Like, I don't know.
I would think slash hope, having seen those guys and seen how they've developed over the last couple of years, and then Mobley, just how he looked as a rookie.
Hopefully. Like, but it's like, how, we don't know that. I agree with you. Like, Jimmy should come in and be very open, because those two guys, they work hard and they work a ton, and they put in the, they like, they put in the necessary hours to get better. You can see that. That's clear as day. Mm-hmm. So maybe you convince him post trade that, look at these guys. They're right here. Like, they're so ready. Yeah. But there still is it's a pretty big age gap.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking like a Sexton sign and trade could be part of this, but the Nets are so far over the apron.
Yeah.
That they, and you can't get a player in a sign and trade if you're over the apron. So that made it tricky. Maybe it's like a 4-team deal where Sexton gets signed and traded elsewhere. I don't know.
Right. All right. Who's next on the list?
Memphis was the other one that came to mind. Hmm. It's hard to make the salaries work, because like, you're either including Jaren Jackson Jr. or the combination of Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks. But I mean, they have the young guys to do a consolidation trade at some point, whether it's for Jimmy or someone else.
And but Jimmy is not a 3-point shooter.
No, he is not.
Neither is Ja Morant. He's getting there, but it's a slow process, and we don't really know if he's ever going to be like one of those knockdown 3-point shooters. Mm-hmm. We don't really know about the health of Jaren Jackson long term. Mm-hmm. I don't, and you have to give up Desmond Bain to even get into the conversation of Jimmy Butler. You just have to. Mm-hmm. So you're losing one of the elite shooters there. Like, that team might be one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the NBA unless they make follow-up additions.
Sure.
No, but those things matter, because, like, here's the thing. If you trade for Jimmy, and that's something we have to mention here, Bri, that means you got to win now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't wait a year or 2 years. Like, you have to win now. So that's why I'm looking at it. Like, it might seem like a minor issue. Oh, well, they won't have enough shooting. Well, they can fix that next year. No, you don't have next year. If you're trading for Jimmy Butler, it's to win right effing now.
Right. And I think, like, Memphis could. I think they are the caliber of team. Like, they are in win now mode, or they are at least, I shouldn't say that, but like, because they're still so young, they don't have to be in win now mode, but like, they could win now.
They are
good enough to win now.
But if you take away the shooting component, will they then have enough, is what I'm wondering.
It's a fair question.
Because that takes away all the driving lanes that both Jimmy and Ja will need.
Right.
Both of those guys are getting to the rim. Like, Jimmy is a guy who lives at the free throw line. So you need to have, you actually need to have more than above average shooting around them. And you don't. You actually have like below average if you include Desmond Bain, and like, you don't know what's going to end up with JJJ. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Like, it's a fun theory, but I don't know if I love it compared to what they'll have afterwards.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like the right guy to go all in on. Like,
right.
You'd rather, you know, not saying Donovan Mitchell is the right guy either, but you'd rather like hope for the next Donovan Mitchell, like someone in their mid-20s.
Oh, I think Donovan Mitchell is exactly the right guy to go for if you're Memphis. I think think about it. He's a guy who takes like 10 threes per game, right? Mm-hmm. But he can also get to the cup. So when he's on the court and Ja is on the bench, like when they're staggering each other, that's when he can attack the paint. Mm-hmm. When he's with Ja, he's right out there, he clapping his hands, waiting for the kick out. I love Desmond Bane, don't get me wrong. I think his defense is extremely underappreciated and undervalued. But, I mean, the offensive upside of Ja and Donovan Mitchell, good Lord. I mean, they would run teams out of the gym. They would. Yeah, that would be amazing. I love that fit. And if you somehow, some way, actually manage to keep Bane's, because you'd like trade every pick under the freaking sun that you have and every other young player that you have. Mm-hmm. then you're talking about like a future, very soonish championship candidate.
Yeah.
Maybe even favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, hit me. There's got to be one more team for Jimmy.
I mean, like, Dallas would be interested. I just don't think they have
the stuff
to interest Miami or Brooklyn. Charlotte as well, but again, especially with, you know, the Miles Bridges stuff still very much up in the... Like, I think you honestly, with Miles Bridges, you just have to assume he's not part of the future in Charlotte or anywhere anymore.
Also, so, they want to be young. I just don't see why they would pivot towards, like, win now. Because, again, trading for Jimmy means win now. Like, do they have the necessary components to become a win now team? They really don't. Especially, like you just touched on, with Miles Bridges being a complete loss now in, well, loss. You can argue how much that's a loss, but you catch my drift here.
Right.
On court, it's 20 points and 6 rebounds just going away. I just don't think they're there at all. Even with Jimmy, they're going to be like a 50-win team tops, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find. Cleveland was the one that really stood out to me. Like, this could make sense, and I think they have enough stuff, especially if they can figure out a way to work a Sexton sign and trade in there.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough value to give to make this a fair deal.
But then let's go back to the Bulls. Let's see if we can, because again, that's one of those deals where I would feel much more at ease on behalf of Butler too, because that's a place that he knows. There's a much stronger certainty that he would be happy to return there. Also, the Bulls are a win now team. It kind of fits together.
Yeah.
Both of those things. Like, obviously, DeMar is, you know, going to be the guy that goes back just because of the salary.
Right.
And also because if you can't move LaVine in this case, you wouldn't have shooting at all.
He just re-signed this summer. You can't trade him for a while.
Correct. So it's probably, like, it's DeRozan and what else? That's the thing here. Mm-hmm. Like, Miami will ask for Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. But, like, where... So how far do you go is probably my question here. Is it, like, DeMar, Patrick Williams, and the Portland pick for Jimmy? Because you can't give up everything. Like, DeMar is... You can argue that DeMar and Jimmy are very equal right now.
Right. And just as a reminder, Miami's getting Kevin Durant in this scenario. So, this is what Brooklyn is getting back. They're getting back Hero, and then they're getting back what else from the Bulls?
Correct. So that would be Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
But again, and see, we have to also clarify that the Bulls, they like, because they're not the ones getting Kevin Durant, they're getting Jimmy Butler. So from their perspective, they have to give up what constitutes fair value for Jimmy Butler,
not Kevin Durant.
So in this scenario, there's no reason for them to give up like Patrick Williams, Kobe White, Dalen Terry, Ayo Dosunmu, and like multiple first rounders. Like that's not in play.
Yeah.
Because then you're overpaying for Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think is a fair deal if the Bulls are getting back Jimmy? Is that DeMar and Patrick Williams?
I think they would have to include at least one pick too.
The Portland pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would do that. I would do that because again, I love DeMar and I think he and Jimmy are very similar or on a similar level, mm-hmm. but I think Jimmy's defense and like playmaking ability and rebounding is going to fill a bigger need as of right now.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that DeMar can't playmake because he obviously can. He's a fantastic playmaker, but the defense isn't there. Like he's more of a scorer than he is a defender. Jimmy would come in, still offer you about 20 points per game, but he would give you elite defense. He would be able to handle the ball and play like a pseudo point guard. He, much like DeMar, can play the 2, the 3, the 4. Like you can swing him at multiple positions. And he's so unselfish that it actually frees up Zach LaVine a ton because of those drives. I mean, and he'll find him. Like, you won't have those late-game heroics from DeMar, but you will have a Zach LaVine who might average 32 points per game because Jimmy Butler is not a high taxing offensive player. Mm-hmm. I love the fit there, honestly. I think if Jimmy is to be traded, the Bulls would make just oodles of sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I guess from the Nets perspective, they'd be getting back Hero, DeRozan, Patrick Williams, the Portland pick from Chicago. Miami's probably throwing at least a pick as well.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. And I still think that beats the Sixers' Tyrese Maxey offer.
But does it beat Boston?
Depends on... That's the thing. Like, all of this depends on what teams are willing to give up.
Right.
Like, Boston, you know, they are willing to give up Jaylen Brown,
right?
It seems. What else are they willing to give up, though?
Yeah, and they don't have a ton of young players that
right.
are
like yeah. Peyton Pritchard is, you know, other than their core guys,
right?
But they already gave up Nesmith this summer. Peyton Pritchard's interesting, but I don't think you're looking at him as like future right. All-Star. You're like, all right, cool, rotation player. Maybe a starter at some point, but probably not.
Mm.
Like, you know, what? Seventh man? Eighth man?
Yeah.
Like, good, solid seventh or eighth man, but not,
right.
not someone who you're, like, betting the next 5 years of your franchise on.
So, actually, that Brooklyn, Chicago, Miami three-teamer mm-hmm. could be something.
Yeah, I think, I mean... If Miami is not willing to give up Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, they're out. Or they right. should be out. Like, I don't see what package you can create around Tyler Hero and stuff that beats, frankly, that beats a Sixers offer. Or right. especially right. a Boston offer. Or, like, I would rather have OG Gary Trent and four picks from Toronto than a Hero-centric offer.
Mm.
So, like, if Miami is serious about getting Kevin Durant, I think it has to start with, you know, either Jimmy or Bam, and I think Jimmy is the right choice.
Right.
Despite what he's done for your culture. Like, it is, you know, from Miami's perspective, like, it is a big thing to be giving up because Jimmy has just been the heart of your team for the last couple of years, and he's been just absolutely phenomenal in the playoffs in particular. But as you said, like, age is becoming a factor there. And like, he did have that blow up with Coach Spo toward the end of the regular season last year. So you wonder, like, now that they lost PJ Tucker in particular, like, if they take a step back this year, how will he deal with that?
Right.
And age wise, like, he and KD are what, a year apart? Like, they're not super far apart there. So, like, if we're that concerned about Kevin Durant's age, why are we not having the same conversation about Jimmy Butler?
No, we should. That's why I bring him up. Yeah. And that's why I bring up the fact that he should go to win now team. So
yeah,
it's yeah. I can feel that my fingers are tinkling in regards to, like, writing a piece about bringing Jimmy Butler home. Like, that's you know, we've talked so much about Kevin Durant. Now I'm thinking about bringing Jimmy to Chicago, because that's where my head is at right now.
Yeah, well, and I think that is the type of offer. Like, if Miami is really serious about outbidding Boston in particular, that's the type of offer you have to be willing to make.
Yeah,
that you bring up some fair points about, you know, is Jimmy going to be happy wherever he goes? Like, are you going to gamble your franchise on that? Because that's what you're doing. Like, if you're giving up that type of capital for Jimmy Butler, like, you better be really damn sure that he is not going to pull a Minnesota and, like, blow things up in a year.
Correct. Yes.
All that is to say, I do not expect this Kevin Durant situation to resolve anytime soon. I think this past week has just been his camp trying to, like, especially with the Sixers stuff, like, if you take 5 seconds a look, it's like the Sixers have nothing to offer other than Tyrese Maxey. Like, this isn't a real, you know, Boston or the Pelicans or the Raptors could blow this out of the water if they want to. It just feels like them trying to manufacture other potential landing spots to be like, hey, Boston, we're going to send them to Philly if you don't pony up multiple picks or Marcus Smart or whatever. And I don't think it's actually going to work. I feel like teams are, I would be frankly surprised if this doesn't at least drag out into training camp. At which point we'll see how serious is Kevin Durant about like really making this uncomfortable on the Nets. Does he miss media day? Does he hold out in training camp? Is he willing to hold out through, you know, through the start of the regular season? If that's the case, and you know, the Nets, I think they have a pick swap with Houston this year. So, you know, if Houston, it doesn't like hurt them as much to be awful this year, but I don't think they will be even without KD. Like if they've got Kyrie still, Ben Simmons in theory playing, like TJ Warren, if he stays healthy, like not saying he's Kevin Durant, but the like a 60% version, you can at least like plug him in to the Kevin Durant role in the offense.
Nope.
I don't think the Nets are going to be like a bottom five team this year, regardless. It's all just, I know we're all getting fatigued of this like nonstop Kevin Durant stuff, but you know, there's a reason we're talking about it as much as we are. And it's because he more than anyone else has the potential to just completely reshape the title picture next year, depending on what team acquires him. Like, you know, if Philly sneaks in here and makes this trade, all of a sudden, I think they're right up there with Boston as the co-title favorites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a long-term thing I have, like, questions about. Short-term, absolutely agree. Next year, whoever has to reign on the roster has a leg up.
Yeah.
Assuming, of course, he doesn't want out again.
Right, by the trade deadline. Well, I'm sure this will not be the last time we talk about Kevin Durant. But...
Great news. Yes.
But we had to do a deep dive into it today, given the reports that have come out. So thank you all for bearing with us as we weed through these murky waters, and hopefully we'll get some clarity soon. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews, and we're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, man. Don't die. And by the way, I started The Boys. And
oh, yes.
I watched 3 seasons in like 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, I honestly didn't even know you hadn't watched it, but it's
I just
like
never
so
had the time.
Yeah.
It is. It's fantastic. It's one of the best series I've ever seen. Homelander is insane.
Yes.
Just literally insane. But my absolutely most hated character is Todd. Fuck Todd.
Todd really did suck. Yeah.
Todd sucked big time. Yeah. All right. Have a good one, man.
All right. You too.